In today's episode of the Foden Bead Show, we speak with the real Neil 99 and then go over some matchups from the last round of the Swiss. Welcome to the Foden Bead Show, a weekly podcast about the Star Wars Armada Vassal World Cup. Hello and welcome. I'm Rythos42. Joining me as always is my co-host, Armchair Jedi.
So uncivilized.
We're going to start this episode with a discussion with the real Neil 99 and then continue later with this week's event news. How you doing, Neil?
I'm doing okay. How are y'all?
Doing good.
Doing great. For myself, I got my last second chance match out and done yesterday. Last night, I played LTD and it was a 6-5 for him. It was a really close match. And that's the end of the tournament for me.
Yeah, I had my last second chance game actually just a couple hours ago against Cahoon. I think he was on last time. He was a good player, 7-4 for him. Just terrible dice luck on my part.
Oh, that is interesting. So that's good to hear that his three large fleet did him some good.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. So let's start with my standard questions here. How long have you played Armada?
I got into Armada around December, like Christmas of 2019. Got in, was buying Christmas gifts for my friends. Corset caught my eye in the game store, picked it up, split it with a friend, and it's just grown from there.
Did you play any miniatures games before Star Wars Armada?
I looked into different miniature games, but for the most part, my miniatures experience was limited to minis that me and my friends had used for Dungeons & Dragons, but no games in the past.
So what was it about the Star Wars like box set with the miniature, you know, coming from a no miniature background, what drew you to that, buying that, picking that up?
Well, I've been a Star Wars fan for pretty much as long as I can remember. And I was just looking for things in the store, looking for gifts for my friends. And I thought, wait, is that a Victory Star Destroyer? I've never seen like a model of that before. So that got me, you know, to take a second look at it, watched a couple videos on it, went back to the store and picked it up.
Yeah, for Armchair and I, we have a long history of playing Warhammer and Warhammer 40K. And so the transition to Star Wars Armada was an easy one because we both love Star Wars and we play miniatures games. So I'm always super interested about people that didn't play miniatures games and decided to pick up, you know, this quasi hybrid miniatures game with, you know, plastic spaceships, but you don't have to paint them.
That was a real selling point for us where we are. I mean, when we were in our younger years and we could have all this time to paint and stuff, you know, we had all sorts of 40K and fantasy armies. And now it's like, what can I just pick up off the shelf and play with? I don't have time for anything else.
Yeah, the pre-painted minis is definitely a big selling point for me. I paint my squadrons every now and then, but I'm very, very glad that I don't have.
So tell us about your Vassal World Cup fleet and kind of what ideas went into it.
It started off just with the idea of a TF-1726 Patriot Fist. And then I realized, you know, that's a pretty glass-jawed ship. So I added in a Providence, a flagship, then a couple of hard cells of support. The first iteration had just a Decay's Comsnet transport, which I changed to Decay's Slicer Tool with my local scene. Small ships running up and tapping Jedi hostage and then just letting a larger ship mess up my flagship. It was just a really bad time. So a slicer tools I found to prevent squadron dials was pretty helpful there.
And especially since you have no squadrons in this fleet.
Yes, I made the choice to cut squadrons for more upgrades. Separatist ships are kind of pricey to start already, but they're very good at what they do. So that was the trade-off that I had to make.
How did you feel going into the pod phase when you saw your opponents got Dreadlord Loki, Truthiness, and Mercanic? What are your thoughts on them initially showing up?
Dreadlord Loki's double ISD list, I was a little apprehensive about the amount of firepower that two gunnery team ISD2s would be able to throw downrange. It ended up being mostly warranted. I got a 6-5 that battle, if I remember correctly. Aim and one of his ships just barely managed to limp away, which prevented, I think it was like a 200-point swing. They're very tough ships, but they were expensive. If I managed to knock out the last 2-3 damage on it, then I probably would have gone to Swiss.
Yeah, his flagship is 191 points.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, he used Thrawn to queue up those on fire dials. So Slicer teams just kept forcing his ships to have on fires and wasting Thrawn on half his fleet, essentially, which was massive because it kept it from running for, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 turns. Mechanics list, I was probably the most concerned about from a list building perspective, just because 3 Munificence and a Providence with Intensify Firepower, LTTs, you know, that sort of Martuk build is a lot of dice, and a Recusant doesn't like getting shot at a lot, and those ships can shoot you from quite a ways away.
Yeah, and they all have PDICs. That seems like a fair amount of hull to chew through.
Yeah, it was a very hanky list, but again, we tied on deployments because we each only had 4 ships, but my hard sells are less important to place than a Munificent, so I think I sort of lucked out on that. Again, a very good game, a good opponent. Very fun to fly against. Truthiness, I was probably the most concerned about from a player perspective, because I know of Truthiness. I'd never played against him before. I know he's a very good player. I know triple Akbar MC-30s is a lot of very mobile, very powerful dice. And he went and proved it. And me forgetting that Volatile Deposits was a scoring objective and letting him rack up points for 2 objectives for 3 rounds definitely favors. But his flying finished it off, and he got that 10-1 on me. That was the last game I played in the pod phase, and it definitely knocked me out of Swiss. That was the game I was the most concerned about, and he did a very, very good job of flying that fleet to the extent of its capabilities.
Yeah, Armchair is on radio is saying you can come back from almost anything, but a 10-1 is a hard one to come back from.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, 2 wins that were close, and then 1 just knockout loss pretty much cemented it for me.
And so, if I recall correctly, it was the 2 people that went on from your pod were Dreadlord Loki and Mechanic.
Yeah.
I think Truthiness is in the second chance with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they both beat Truthiness by a fair bit, but I didn't get to watch either one of those games, so I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
And Truthiness had a bit of a rough pod. I mean, he was a semifinalist last year. This year, he got the 10-1 against you, but then went 4-7 and 1-10 himself against Mechanic. So he had a really rough pod phase, and yeah, did not make it through to the Swiss.
Yeah, he's a very good player, and I'm sad to see him not go on to Swiss, mainly because he was the one that beat me, but that's the way the cookie crumbles, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, you always want to see the people that do the best go on. That's why I'm still rooting for Sam. He's in the top 4, last I checked.
I think that just got sent out. Sam and Paul.
Are you bringing the same fleet or a different one to the Second Chance event?
I am bringing a very different list to the Second Chance event. Pretty much the only similarity it's got is that it doesn't have, which is weird for me because it's a Republic list. 2 acclimators with clone gunners, flat gun, proximity mines, X-Racks, and LTTs, 2 peltas with projection experts, 1 of each resupply and proximity mine, and then a red dice consular, which is my flagship, with Tarkin, silver, LTTs, and swift return. That it started as an exercise in how can I make clone gunners work, and so that involved Tarkin and resupplies. Probably not the most efficient way to do it, but and then proximity mines, because that list has 8 proximity mines, which combined with my 8-point bid and my choice of objectives pretty much lets me force engagement or at least try to punish my opponent for the objective. You can play the objective and run into mines, or you can not play the objective and miss out on those points. Is essentially the goal with it.
Yeah. So how did it end up working for you in the Second Chance event?
It is an aggressively mediocre list, I feel like, and I'm not sure how much of that is user error versus the itself.
Well, that's certainly a very brave and honest of you.
Yeah, it's a lot of moving parts.
So my follow-up question to that is, did Clone Gunners work for you?
Honestly, yes. Clone Gunners is pretty effective for what it does. If you've got Confire tokens across different ships, and then you use your Confire dial, it's got a bit of setup for it, and some would say it's a little subpar payoff, but especially for a lot of medium and small ships that might not have duplicate defense tokens or they don't have a defensive retrofit, it's pretty effective at locking out a redirect on a munificent or locking the salvo on something that it might not want to salvo you or spend its ECMs to do so. But the list is just too many moving parts, I feel, and not enough staying power on the ship-killing part. That an Acclimator 1 is not the most survivable medium-based ship.
No, if you're getting proximity mines, you're giving up the defensive retro on that ship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Clone Gunners, I've heard a couple people, you know, feel really passionate about them and really want to make them work. And whenever I've tried them in my fleets, they feel like they're a lot of setup. And for me, I just don't have the mental capability of figuring that out every time.
Now, I was talking with a local about Clone Gunners, and he suggested to have Clone Navigation Officer on the same ship. So you can reveal a concentrate fire, pass the token to a friendly ship, and then pull the token right off to trigger Clone Gunners.
But on the other hand, now you're talking about, 9 points
of upgrades?
I think
it's 9 points, yeah, for a single blue accuracy twice a game.
So it's 8 points, because Clone Gunners is 4 and the CNO is 4.
I thought it was 5.
But yeah, I mean, that's a lot of stuff you're building up in order to make it work.
Republic very much feels like you need to do a lot of work to get the best out of it.
So out of that, which faction do you think you're going to go with for your next fleet or tournament?
I've been toying with an Akbar sort of MSU list with an Assault Frigate, an MC-30, and a pair of CR-90s that I went and flew it at a local tournament week before last. And it was my first local tournament in COVID and ended up coming 6 of 12. So I think it does pretty well. So I'll probably be flying and refining that list until I get bored of it.
Yeah, my game against LTD last night was Akbar. It was 4 CR-90s and 2 Comsnet GR-75s. Can you tell us about any interesting VWC or Second Chance games that you played?
In the Second Chance, I played against Jotto Watts. That he flew, and I think it was an Obi-Wan list, that it's got Tranquility and Projection Experts. And he's very good about forcing that Venator 1 into engagement. Where you cannot ignore it, and it's more work than you'd think to put it down. You cannot sort of, I guess, half commit to putting it down. You have to fully commit your ships to killing it, because otherwise it will take more points off the board than it is worth.
Interesting trivia about Jotto Ott's fleet is it's a very similar fleet to one that he put into that tournament last year where we swapped fleets. And so the very last conversation, I played him in one of these events too, the very last conversation I had with him on Discord is him explaining exactly how to play his fleet. And then he and I got matched up.
Oh man, that's just unfortunate for him.
Yeah, that was a bad timing.
Or was it good timing?
It was great timing for me. I can't remember how that game went, but
certainly didn't hurt anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Any other games on your mind there, Neil?
I played a game against Alanis that he slowed to speed 1 or speed 0 the first 3 rounds of the game because he didn't want to eat my proximity mines, because he either only had 1 flak die to shoot them down and I placed them where they were obstructed, or I placed them behind dust fields or on top of dust fields where he couldn't shoot them at all. And so he didn't want to take the risk of running into them, sat at speed 0 for the first few rounds, and then right whenever I thought it was just going to end in a 6-5 because we'd just been sitting there, he jetted his Kuat up, killed my flagship in 1 shot, and ran away for a 6-5, or 4, sorry.
That's I've seen that before, right, where you think that the game is just going to be a boring stalemate, and your opponent's like, nope, I'm going to change that.
Mm-hmm. I was not looking forward to the speed 0 game, but man, it hurts to lose in a 7-4 rather than win in a 6-5.
Yes, it does. And especially one that you were like, well, I think I know how this is going to go. And then it does not go how you think it's going
to
go.
Yeah, the 89-point flagship sometimes comes to bite you in the butt.
All right. Well, it was great talking with you tonight, Neil. I think your games are done, but I wish you luck in the next tournament you're going
to
play.
Right. Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thanks, Neil.
All right. No problem.
And now let's join Armchair Jedi with a recap of the last round of the Swiss. the last game ended tonight, so I think there's some great stuff to talk about tonight. Armchair?
Thanks, Rythos. And yes, the last game of the Swiss wrapped up minutes before we started recording tonight. So this is literally smoking hot off the presses for me. And by the time you all hear this, it'll be old news.
As well, the Discord appears to be lighting up with people talking about the last games and the finalists.
So on the top table, Robofet and Sam knew that there wasn't a whole lot at stake as long as the game was close, and it was, Sam getting a 6-5, 40 MOV victory. On table two, Paul versus Horngrim faced each other in the Battle of the Pauls. The carnage was appalling, but neither player was about to apologize. In the end, it was Paul topping Paul with an 8-3, 172 MOV, ensuring Paul would advance to the semis and relegating Paul to the viewer's gallery. On table 3, the match between Severus Snape and Louis André finished moments before we started recording. Snape's Kraken fleet destroyed several squadrons and the most wanted Gazanti, but Louis André managed to sweep the space lanes of rebel squads and destroyed a GR-75 and a CR-90 as well to take the match with a 7-4, 69 MOV. Nice. On table 5, our Vassal World Cup 2020 winner Aresius needed a solid win against Garrett to jump into the top 4. He got a narrow 6-5 victory with only a 12 MOV. Down on table 8, Grand General Rold ends with a win, a 6-5, 9 MOV victory against Duckbird. That means General Tag finishes the Swiss in 13th place, winning 3 of 4 of his Swiss battles. Does this mean that the Armada Discord needs to get rid of the auto trash can emoji? Is General Tag actually okay? Will Rold dedicate his Armada career to proving that all commanders are viable? On table 10, MHD had to withdraw. But I want to recognize Fox Omega for conceding to MHD before MHD could officially withdraw. With the 8-1 in MHD's favor, he finishes in 6th place overall with 26 tournament points and 540 MOV. Had Fox Omega taken the concession, Fox would have finished around the same spot. It was a very classy move and a very sportsmanlike move, and I just wanted to recognize Fox Omega for that.
Totally.
On table 11, Dark Raver's final game was against VWC enabler Green Knight. Dark Raver's dodgy SSD came out ahead with a 7-4 and 95 MOV victory. It was cool to see an SSD with a winning record in the Swiss. And thanks once again to Green Knight for all the work that he does on the Vassal Armada module. We couldn't have had this much fun without you.
Too true. And now he's running the Fantasy League. If anyone wants some more Armada, he's got some very interesting rules that he's cooked up that people are discussing the ins and outs of.
Yeah, I mean, Green Knight has done a lot, I think, for the community over the past year, and big kudos to him for you know, not only maintaining the module so that we can play, but also just, you know, putting his time and his passion into stuff like this. You know, so many people have contributed over the past few years to keep things going, and it's I know I've really appreciated it, and I know the community has really appreciated it.
Yep.
So the Swiss is done, and if we look at the top 10 after 4 rounds of Swiss, Vimes came in 10th place in the Swiss, Rasprodius just ahead of him. Severus Snape, as a result of that loss against Louis André, falls to 8th. Horngrim lost the Battle of the Pauls and slipped into 7th. MHD finished in 6th. And Aresius, with that 6-5 victory, didn't quite crack the top 4 and finishes in 5th. That means our top 4 from the Vassal World Cup Swiss, moving on to the eliminations, are in 1st place, Robofet, who is the 2020 semifinalist, Sam, who is the 2020 runner-up, Paul, and our fellow Canadian, Louis André. Congratulations to everybody who made it into the Swiss, and especially the 4 of you. And we look forward to the next 3 games to decide the Vassal 2022 World Cup champion. And with those 4, it means we have an all-Empire elimination round. We've got Admiral Sloan in a Sloaniger list, flown by Brobofet. We've got Paul's Admiral Mahdi ISD2 VSD list. We've got Sam's really, really nasty Onager double dictor list. And we've got Louis André's Jared Gerard, ISD2 Raider, and 132 points of squads list.
That is a lot of variation in a single faction.
Yeah. Interestingly, 2 Onagers in the top 4 after kind of wondering whether the Onager had kind of had its day in the sun, if we kind of figured it out, if it's got some weaknesses for all of its power. And have we as a community, as a meta, sorted it out? And you know, clearly in some cases, yes, a lot of the Onagers did not make it, but in the hands of people like Sam and Brobofet, who are obviously top class players, they're still super dangerous. But also 2 ISD2s in the top 4.
And a Victory Star Destroyer.
Looking at the commanders from the top 10, it's actually a decent variety. We've got Sloan, Mahdi, Ramadi. There were 2 Jared Gerards, an Agate, TF-1742, there were 2 Krakens in the top 10, and Luminara as the only Republic admiral in the top 10. But again, Luminara, compared against Bail, against a Plo, surprising to me to find a commander like that that I think people have kind of struggled to define.
I wonder if the Luminara success may be more in the hands of the commander than necessarily the commander herself. I think Luminara, that she's got a lot of really interesting pieces. She's certainly fun. I don't know if she compares against a Ramadi or a Kraken as a commander that is necessarily going to win you games.
Right, yeah. Fair enough. But I mean, looking down the list even further, the next best Republic commander from the Swiss is Lumi.
All right, so I'm totally wrong.
In fact, we have to go all the way down to Maturin, who had a Plo Koon list, and Maturin finished in, I think, 15th overall. Where is he? 20th overall. And interesting enough, TF1726, as the top separatist admiral, Martuk was the most popular commander overall. There were 8 Martuks in the entire field. The top Martuk finished in 21st. And then General Tag, Grand General Tag, finishes in 13th in the Swiss. There was an SSD that finished 15th in the Swiss. A Victory Star Destroyer is in the elimination round.
So which of those fleets am I going to see on the table next week?
You're going to see a SSD VSD commanded by General Tag.
Perfect.
Yeah, no flaws and totally legal. But yeah, that's the end of a super exciting Swiss phase. I'm super stoked. I mean, I'm an Empire admiral at heart, so I'm super stoked to see a quad Empire elimination round. I know that's not everybody's cup of tea, but these are all super skilled players with very different, interesting lists. I mean, are people going to keep solving Sam's Onager Double Dictor? Broba Fett has been the top player this entire time. So is he going to keep that record going and just steamroll all the way to the final? Is somebody going to trip him up? We're looking at the first round of elimination. It's Broba Fett against our fellow Canadian Louis André. I know who I'm cheering for. Go Canada.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Broba Fett and Sam are friends and have played quite a bit, at the very least, maybe at LVO. So maybe they know a little bit about each other's fleets already.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, this deep into the tournament, I'm sure the top players are definitely have some kind of measure of these opponents. I'm pulling for Louis André. I mean, you know us, we cheer for the underdogs. So definitely cheering for Louis André, our fellow Canadian. I'm definitely cheering for Paul because I want that VSD hoisting the championship. I want him to be able to paint a little tiny trophy cup on the side of it when it's all over. But we have 3 more super exciting games left to decide the Vassal World Cup 2022 champion. And I can't wait. I hope you guys have some great matches. Good luck to everybody. Please let Plausia know when your games are scheduled so we can come watch. And yeah, it's been a heck of a run, and I can't wait for these last 3.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's it for tonight. I'm Rathos42.
And I'm Armchair Jedi.
And may the Force be with you.
And I've got the high ground.
My legs. Thanks for listening to the Vote and Beat Show. We don't have a Patreon or Apple reviews for you to give us, but if you have a story you'd like to tell us or feedback on the podcast, write us at votebeatarmada@gmail.com or on Discord. Listen to us next week for more Vassal World Cup commentary.